The next Sunday, we celebrated students who have completed one or more of the classes in the Divine Science course of study. Now, these classes were taught here at the church during the past education year. We also recognize four individuals who have completed all six classes. Now, the classes that are offered here are given for personal growth and understanding. We come to this church with certain concepts about life, and we bring our questions about what to do with it. When we arrive in the class, we are asked to consider life in a different way. In the past, we may have mostly done our work in the realm of thought, or perhaps noticing what it is that the five senses have to say. Our experience has been that life brings its challenges, and we are called upon to make decisions and determinations. And we have made our adjustments mostly based on our past experience, or perhaps what it is that others have had to say. The Divine Science classes, they are prepared for the individual who wishes to experience life beyond what the world has to offer. The classes are for the one who is willing to stretch and to reach for a finer idea of life. The teaching is offered to the ones who are willing to look out on their circumstances and their conditions, and then ask that question, isn't there more to life than this? One of the classes in the Divine Science course of study is spiritual psychology. Two of the lessons for discussion are living the truth and attainment. It is understood that in order to take on a new way of life, we must first learn to look at life in a different way. We must be willing to consider possibilities that are not suggested by the human thought. We are reminded that no matter how much we study what it is we think we know about truth, in order to benefit from it, we must make our lessons practical in our lives. Now, to make something practical means to experience it, not merely as a theory or as an ideal, but as an actual activity in our life. We must never be content to merely read about truth, talk about truth, or listen to what others might have to say. And so we offer a class that discusses living the truth. We also call this practicing the presence. Now, to live and practice something means to take it on as a daily activity, to make it a vital part of our everyday living. Spiritual ideas, they are revealed and they are accepted in consciousness. We practice the presence and we live the truth in our place of awareness that is receptive to the divine idea. And so we have another lesson that discusses attainment. It speaks of attaining that mind that was in Christ Jesus. For you see, it is this mind that is receptive to the divine idea. To stretch and to reach for a finer idea requires us to be in a place of consciousness that is finer than that one that we use when we are considering thought and noticing the five senses. To learn of Christ consciousness, We are directed to the lesson given by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in this particular sermon, he speaks of the value of attitudes, and he gave us the beautiful message known as the Beatitudes. The message is this: blessed are those who have a particular attitude. For having that particular attitude will bring a certain result. For instance, one of them: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that one who is pure in heart has no other gods. The pure in heart are steadfast in their practicing of the presence. And yes, it will be this one who sees God. It is well for us to study the Beatitudes. And I really do like the explanation that Emmett Fox gives us in his book, The Sermon on the Mount. It gives clarity to the role that we play when we do our living and practicing of truth. Let us establish our attitude in heaven, for you see, this is the one that blesses. It is the established attitude that becomes our foundation, and it is always from our foundation that we consider the mystery that we call life. The student soon discovers that in order to practice the presence and live the truth, in order to attain that mind in Christ Jesus, in order to do these things, certain adjustments must be made. Adjustments must be made in how it is we think about life. Jesus considered attitude to be vital to our life experience. Perhaps it is our attitude that needs a little bit of adjusting. So the challenge becomes, how do we do this? How do we make those changes? Well, when we look back over our lives, we discover that we have made many changes. Life has given us its twists and its turns, each demanding a response from us. In our time of daily living, life really does not stand still. Some might say that life happens. And when these events occur, we are called upon to look at life in a different way. And we do. There were times when we were called upon to make a move. Perhaps it was a physical one, from city to city, or perhaps to another state. Maybe the change involved a relationship or a different job. Perhaps a loved one has died, and things just aren't the same. We make decisions and we move on. While it might appear that the adjustment was made out here, we first had to make the adjustment in our thinking before we could take that outer step. We had to take it to consciousness, consider it in consciousness before we could move in a particular way. We took it to consciousness, and that is where the adjustment was made. Now, when we turn things over to that state known as Christ consciousness, we receive guidance and direction that is sure and certain. This is important, for it determines the quality of the outcome. What is the attitude that we hold in consciousness? If it was established in heaven, it is a firm foundation. And it is from this place that we may consider life in its fullest expression. Now, actually, we are called upon to notice and to make determinations in all areas of our life, including those areas that we might consider to be a little mundane. Still, some action is required on our part, and we want to get it right. Even if it is considered to be mundane, we know we must take it to that place that knows how to make the adjustment. For instance, in working out here in the world and considering the mundane, you know when life happens? You might notice that something seems to be happening with your car. It doesn't sound right. It is making funny noises. Or perhaps you drove over a pothole and now something needs to be realigned. When this happens, you take your car to the place where that particular work is done. You take it to your mechanic to make the adjustment. You take your car to the place where the work gets done, turn it over to the individual who knows what to do. Here in our church, in the sanctuary. If the piano or the organ develops a problem or needs to be tuned, we do not ask a minister or a board member to do the work. We don't even ask for a volunteer to step up because we know that this would not work. We call the appropriate music person. Now, actually, he's been here several times over the years, and I like to refer to him as the music man. He knows the musical instruments. He knows what needs to be done. And he knows how to make the adjustment. Even in those areas that we consider to be of lesser importance, we understand the value of turning the matter over to the one who knows how to make the adjustments. Let us get back to that individual who is considering a new way of life. That individual who looks out on his circumstances and his conditions and wonder if there is more to life than what appears at the moment. Already he has made the decision that he does not want to continue living in that same old way. But he knows that adjustments will need to be made. Now, even though he might have come to this church, might have even taken a class or two, it is not so easily understood how the work gets done in us. When we turn our conditions and our circumstances over to the divine idea to make the adjustment, it means that we really do need to stand down. When we go to that place in consciousness that knows how to make the adjustment, we do so without any opinion or idea about what should be done. God does not need our help, nor our suggestions. Now, if we are serious about living the spiritual life, we must understand that the required attitude is, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." For you see, to live the spiritual way of life is not us really doing something, but rather, it is our willingness to be led by Spirit. Spirit knows what to do. Spiritual consciousness is that place where the work gets done. The adjustments, they happen in us, in that place where we become still and say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." When it comes to the spiritual realm of life with spiritual ideas, We do not turn to the mechanic or the music man to make the adjustment, nor do we ask our friends to do our work for us. You see, we cannot notice, determine, or make adjustments for another. Actually, we alone are only responsible for making one adjustment, and that is the one concerning our attitude. Establish it in heaven and allow that divine idea to be expressed. When our attitude is established in heaven, it might be said that we are of the pure in heart. Remember, it is in this place where that personal act of surrender is. Speak, Lord, I am listening. This is really important, for you see, it is not about what it is we think it should be. It is not about us telling God how it is we would like the fruit of the Spirit prepared for us. Nor do we dictate the form that it should take in order to satisfy us in a particular way. If we are talking, we are not listening. If our thoughts are cluttered with ideas concerning us in a personal way, we separate ourselves from life as a whole. When we consider us to be a separate entity rather than an individualized expression of God, we live life divided and apart. The lesser will never experience what belongs to the greater. Consciousness that knows itself as the divine idea has access to the heavenly storehouse, and it will pour out its blessings. So let us return again for a moment to that lesson contained in the Beatitudes. Jesus considered our attitude to be important in determining our quality of life. In today's lesson, I have spoken a great deal about the established attitude and of the need to establish it in heaven. Now, when we establish something, it means that it is in this place. It indicates that thought and activity were involved, and it has value and meaning. When we walk down the street and we see a building, we will notice the day it was established, etched on its cornerstone, as if to say, I have been here for this long. I have a reason for being. A restaurant may advertise itself as an establishment that has been in business for 50 years. The suggestion is that we can rely on it. It has served customers for a very long time. It is a place that we can take our friends and enjoy a good meal. But what is established in a material way is of the world. It may appear to have a foundation, but it is susceptible to the laws that govern material things. And, well, life happens. The building, the one that boasts of its longevity, it may be torn down by developers. The restaurant, the one which had been in business for 50 years, well, the economy shifts, and the owners are no longer able to pay the rent, and they are forced to close its doors. Now, I know this has happened to you, but to me, several times over the years, I have started out to go to a particular restaurant or a store, only to arrive and discover it's no longer there. So the lesson that I learned is that if you haven't been to a place in a while, it is best to call ahead. When we found us dissatisfied with life as we knew it, We sought out a new way of looking at love. We discovered a spiritual teaching that told us that the work gets done in consciousness, in an invisible realm out of which all things express. We learned that what is accepted in consciousness goes before us, our picturing in a way that is compatible with the awareness that sent it forth. And we understand the need for adjustment on our part. Now, after a few attempts at this new way of life, we discovered the value of our attitude. We soon discover that it is best to maintain an attitude which is compatible with what it is we wish to have as our experience. So the focus is now directed on how could this be accomplished? How does the work get done? We have read the Beatitude that gives the value of being pure in heart. But just how do we stay pure in heart? Is it really possible to have no other gods, no other distractions or temptations? I believe that it is the quality of the attitude that determines the work that will be done. If that attitude is open and receptive to ideas not suggested by the human thought, if so, it may be established in heaven. If our attitude is closed to the idea that speaks of a self that is not of this world, then we will not know the self that is not of this world. We will find us under the laws that govern the world, and we will not be established in heaven. Now, Jesus actually gave us several beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This attitude concerning this at this beatitude is one that speaks of openness to spiritual ideas. It is teachable and receptive, and it is humble before God, not my will, but thine be done. It is willing to allow the will of God to come forth in whatever way divine wisdom thinks is best. The open, receptive attitude allows us to inherit this earth. So what does this mean? The earth. It means our whole outer experience. And to inherit the earth means for us to have dominion over the outer experience. That is to say, the power to bring all of our affairs and conditions of life into harmony. Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes bring us a valuable lesson in making adjustments to life. The need is to make these lessons practical in order to benefit from them. They must be our experience, practicing the presence and living the truth, not merely something attained as a theory or as an ideal. And yes, this definitely requires an adjustment on our part. And we make that adjustment according to our desire to do so. It is a matter of doing what it is we say we want to do, which is why divine science offers that lesson concerning practicing the presence of living the truth. When we add those letters ING to a word, it indicates activity. Activity that is being done in the present time. But you see, it's all up to us. And it does help to attain that mind that was in Christ Jesus. So let us get busy and do this, so that our attitude may be established in heaven. This morning we have the opportunity to practice being in His presence. Would you join me now in our